Has your data been hacked? Do you feel uneasy about the vulnerability of your personal information online? Were you involved in the Target, LinkedIn, or Microsoft data leaks? Don't know? If not, then pay attention. Join Forrest Garvin from PrepperNet for a free webinar on privacy and security. Gain insights into safe internet browsing, VPNs, crafting online aliases, secure emails, detecting if your data has been hacked, and managing passwords. Secure your spot today for this webinar on privacy and security. It's free. This webinar delves into comprehensive strategies for bolstering your online privacy. We've got you covered, from fortifying your passwords to shielding your financial information and mastering state-of-the-art encryption techniques. We're offering two convenient dates to suit your schedule. Reserve your spot now at preppernet.com/privacy. Don't let cyber threats erode your peace of mind any longer. Take the first step toward a safer, more secure online experience by joining us for our free webinar. Remember, knowledge is power when it comes to safeguarding your privacy. Sign up now at preppernet.com/privacy. We'll see you there.
You've just joined the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. The views and opinions expressed are strictly those of the host or their guests. Visit us in the interactive chat room at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
Survive. Thrive. Stay alive. You're listening to The Prepping Academy, the information you need before the world ends.
Hey guys, we are here at The Prepping Academy. I am Forrest. We got Tenderfoot across the table from us. How you doing? Get the mask off your face.
I'm doing great.
He's got the anonymous mask on, so he apparently is got issues. Dude, you found that on my game over there, didn't you?
No, it's not very effective on radio.
Well, you know, my mom did say I had a face for radio and a voice for mimes. Oh goodness! Man. We were having a little technical difficulty. Not that we still are not. But we will figure this out as we go, and no one will know.
That's right.
Because we're not going to tell them.
That's right.
That we've screwed up.
So don't say anything.
Don't say anything.
You do have that muted still, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And so I am not going to do a touch a thing because the way we have it, it will work, but it's not the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Because Travis just rolled in here from Miami.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I don't know where he came from.
You never know where I'm coming from.
I know. Goodness gracious. So, you had a good week?
I have. It's been a better week.
Better week. Good. Good. Hey, guys, if you're on Blog Talk Radio right now and you saw this crazy Prepping Academy show go live or any other streaming service, we're currently live right now on the air. I mean, really on the air. I mean, this is live right now. You go to PrepperBroadcasting.com, and you'll be able to not only listen to us there, but you can join the interactive chat room. And if you're listening to this via podcast, we are live on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you don't have a smartphone, you know, you get with the real time, seriously. I mean, if you don't have a smartphone, I mean, you've got issues. I mean, you just do. I mean, Michael that does the Friday night show, he doesn't have a smartphone.
Really?
Yeah, but yet it's all about operational security or PERSEP.
Yeah.
But yet he does a radio show.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You gotta have a computer.
I love Michael's awesome. But you can call in at 347-202-202. Let me do that again. 347-202-0228 and listen in. You can actually call and listen in on your mobile.
That's right.
Your dumb phone.
That's it.
Or your home phone.
I think I'm going to do that when I'm driving sometime.
Okay. You're just going to call in, listen on your phone.
Yeah.
That's awkward. And then you'd be like on hold music.
Yeah.
And it's for a whole hour. You're waiting. They won't pick up. Oh, goodness.
Oh,
so, yeah. So, this is the Prepping Academy. I'm Forrest. We got Tenderfoot across the table here. You can find us at preppingacademy.com, preppingacademy.com. And our chat room is going to be hopping tonight. I can just see it. We've got an incredible guest on tonight, and I am so ready for my questions. I got tons of questions. If you don't have any, I got it covered.
Awesome.
I've been following Mark Goodwin for some time now. I've listened to, I bet, almost every Prepper Recon podcast in the last 3 years. I just don't think I've missed any. And I've read many of his series, book series. And one of the series is, I call it the American Exit. I don't know. It had the exit, had the reset, had the meltdown. I mean, that was one of the first series I read, and that kind of whet my appetite. And so then he's come out with The Days of Noah, and now I'm reading The Days of Elijah. I love his books.
That's awesome. And you said a lot of great things, and I feel bad because I haven't read them, but
that's because you don't love God and you can't read.
That's
and you're not a true prepper.
Oh, right.
Oh, goodness.
It is my library does look different.
Than
probably everybody that's listening here.
Yes.
Mine would.
Yeah, yours would have books.
I'm more.
You got kids. Run, Jane, run. Humpty Dumpty.
Dr. Seuss. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I won't say a theologian, but you have a master's degree in divinity, right?
Yes.
And so, absolutely. I mean, so you're going to die.
That's it.
You know, and some people have to.
That's it.
No, but you're the kind of guy that would never call yourself a prepper, but you are prepared.
Yeah, I guess.
That's,
you really put me on the spot there, but no, I don't know.
I don't know. A homesteader, maybe.
I would call myself a prepper.
Would you?
Now.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, that was just a new word for me for everything that I was doing. But
yeah.
Well, maybe not.
We like to label people in the prepping world. We got labels for everyone.
Yeah. You know,
if you don't have one, we'll make one up on the spot.
Well, the name they're going back to now, or they're using now, survivalist.
Yeah.
I was using that. I was probably.
I never used that. I never did. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what to call it. But I'm so excited that Mark's going to be here tonight. I've been pumping this up for a month now. And when I actually contacted him, gosh, it was 30 days ago or so. And he responded. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
He responded, and I was excited. And then he said, yes, he'd be on, and I was even more excited. And so I've been looking forward to this. The research, the days and weeks of research I've been doing on this. Now, I didn't have to because I've listened to everything he's done.
You're ready.
And I've
you're,
read all his books, so I didn't really didn't
you're
have
limited.
To.
You really are.
So
I'm the complete opposite of you.
I know. You don't even know who Mark Goodwin is. I mean, it's so embarrassing to have a guest on the show and you don't even know who he is. Did you even listen to one of his podcasts? Oh, man.
Why do you always put me on the spot?
Man, you are fired. Okay. Well, my producer, G-Man, is telling me that that Mark is ready and with us. Mark, are you there today?
Here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. I am so glad to have you on. I've been a big fan. Now my co-host Tenderfoot here.
Nice.
We're going to have to train him a little bit, but I've listened to almost every podcast you've put out in the last few years. I've read almost all your books, and so I'm a big fan. And just welcome to our show, The Prepping Academy.
Welcome, Mark.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Thanks for having me, and thanks for your support. Thanks for reading the books, and thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate that. I'm honored.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean.
And now you got a new fan.
Well, you get to do anything. You're not considered a fan yet.
You've got a new audience.
Uh-huh, a new audience. So I've got a whole list of questions. I've been waiting about 2 years. Don't think I'm a freak or anything, but I've been waiting for a while to ask you some questions. So I'm going to just tell Tenderfoot just to sit there and listen.
Why am I even here? Yeah. I'm
joking. One of my first questions, if you don't mind, tell us about yourself. Tell us how you kind of got from an economic major to writing prepper fiction. They're almost like faith-based books.
Yeah, I guess it was the 2008 financial crisis. That's what really, really got my attention. I saw how close we came to the edge with that one, and it was spooky. And I don't think that all of that negative energy that was in the system in 2008, I don't think that's ever been cleared out. I think we've been kicking the can down the road for, nearly a decade now from that one. So I think that whatever was going to happen in 2008, had we just let the system clear itself out, I think that that's still there. And I think that that's exacerbated. And I think that we're still in some we still got some tough times ahead in the financial realm. But obviously, since then, there's been no shortage of news items that are almost post-apocalyptic. They're almost the stuff of similar to the stuff that I write in books or other people write in books for post-apocalyptic fiction. And this past fall has been no exception. We've had Hurricane Harvey, we've had the California wildfires. That's absolutely the worst I've ever seen as far as fires.
Right.
Hurricane Irma, 80% of Florida was without power the day after Irma. Gas stations were dried up. When people were trying to come back after evacuating, there was my area. We had power back, but most people weren't able to come back because none of the gas stations had fuel. Fortunately, we had fuel, so we were able to come back. I had 20 gallons in the bed of my truck, and of course I had that covered so people couldn't just look through the topper and see if there was 20 gallons worth of gas in there, because that was gold at the time. So anybody that was coming back had fuel cans, or they weren't coming back. So that was a big lesson.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Hotels were booked way up into North Georgia, and so you either booked a week out or you didn't get a hotel, or you were camping, I guess. And
there were a lot of people
that,
in
that
Charlotte
weather,
as well.
Yeah,
and there.
that weather went all the way through the East Coast. So, it wasn't good camping weather at all.
Right. Well, let me tell you.
Hurricane Maria. We're 6 weeks after Maria, and 70% of Puerto Rico is still without power. That's apocalyptic.
Right.
So
yeah.
When you look around, the stuff is not, it's not stuff that might happen or could happen. It's stuff that's just happening all the time.
Well,
so to me, it makes sense to be prepared.
Yeah, let me just so Tenderfoot, at our church.
Okay. Yeah.
What's one thing I'm known for?
Wait a minute.
Of studying in the Bible.
Oh yes, Revelation.
Revelation. Yeah. And so I personally, another reason I love your books is I've studied Revelation for about 17 years.
Yeah.
And that was one of the main reasons I started prepping, is because of my study. And I've studied every single view, every single person. I've read probably over 150 books, and I studied it. And so when I started reading your books, Mark, I was like, okay, I like this. Now, some things I disagree with, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, some of the things. But here's a question for you. I've heard you ask this to other people you're interviewing, but I've never really heard your story. So my question to you is this: how did you come to know the Lord?
Hey, let's take a quick break.
Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at PrepperNet.com.
Wow, I guess I was born into a Christian home, and I grew up in a Christian home, and I walked away from that when I hit probably puberty, you know, around that age, the high school age, and kind of went out and did the prodigal son thing, and did that for many, many years. In 2003, I guess I got my a DUI. Had some pot in the car, and was sentenced to a Christian rehab. And it was there that I learned the discipline of getting connected to the vine. You know, Jesus says in John 15, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you'll bear much fruit. And he said, but a branch outside of the vine can do nothing on its own. So, you know, we've got a lot of people out there calling themselves Christians. They don't read their Bible regularly. They don't participate in a regular, you know, they don't have any kind of personal worship time. I doubt they pray other than to bless their Cheerios in the morning. And if that's the case, you're not really connected to the vine, and you're not going to be able to produce that fruit. You know, it takes that discipline of being connected to God through all of that, through reading the Bible, through praise and worship, through prayer. You know, you can't go to Sunday. You wouldn't eat one day a week and think that you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise by eating, you know, oh, I'm going to go eat a really big meal on Sunday. I'm going to let somebody else prepare it, so I really don't even know what I'm eating. You know, you got to be in that word and studying that word to even know if that guy in the pulpit's telling you the truth. You know?
Right.
That's not the church's job to teach you the Bible. It's your job to get in there, get connected.
Yeah,
going
to church doesn't make you a Christian. Like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger.
Exactly.
Unfortunately,
there's a lot of hamburgers. People calling themselves hamburgers out there.
I know, and it's. I know. I hate that, and I hate that we put it onto the church to actually lead people to Christ. I think it should be individuals doing it, and not the church's responsibility. But another question about you writing your books and your podcasts, do you consider this a ministry?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had people send me emails. It's always really humbling to get an email that said, you know, I accepted the Lord as my Savior because of this. Or it's even more so to get an email of somebody that said, you know, I've been kind of out and out on my faith, and because of this, I'm rededicating myself. I'm going to dedicate myself to living for the Lord, to getting connected to the vine, to start reading my Bible daily. You know, that's the thing that really, like, when I hear somebody that's jumping in, and I know that that's not going to be seed that ends up on the stony ground or on the pathway, and the birds aren't going to eat it, and it's going to actually get in the soil, and it's actually going to bear fruit, because to me, that's the real thing.
All right, I agree.
And that's how I get those emails.
You know, and also how I got into prepping was actually Y2K. But as I was studying end times, which it amazes me, you know, I don't get into a lot of the pre-trib, post-trib, or pre-rap. I don't get into a lot of that. I just tell people it's going to be like the days of Noah. Hint, a book series is great about that. But it's going to be like that. That means it's bad for everyone. So God is telling us what's going to happen. So we have to prepare for that. If we're calling on God and we're disobedient from not listening to what is going to be happening in the future, he's not going to help us. And it makes me so mad. And you can almost, you would think in the Christian church, as they study the end times, there would be an overwhelming movement for people getting prepared for the end of days. Would you agree with that?
I would think so. And you could, you know, there's plenty of folks out there that have got the pre-tribulation viewpoint. And, you know, like you, I've listened to a lot of really good teachers. And a lot of the people that I sort of consider spiritual mentors hold to that viewpoint. And I've heard some pretty good arguments. I think most of the people that have read my books will know that I consider myself pan-trib, which means I think it'll all pan out when Jesus gets back. And that's not a cop-out. It's me saying I see a legitimate argument for several different eschatological viewpoints that all seem to make sense. In some, I see holes in some, and then I see others that seem to hold up better and with different scriptures. So
right.
I think there's a little, you know, I think that there's a little, you know, there's something in there that folks should be careful in getting overly dogmatic with any single viewpoint. But they can have that pre-trib viewpoint, and they can hang on to that, and you can still have, you know, what's called the beginning of sorrows in
right.
Matthew 24. If you're reading King James, it's called the beginning of sorrows. And if you look back on the Greek, that word for sorrows is that's the travail of a woman. And folks that listen to the show know that we did a home birth. For when we just had our child 3 months ago,
yep.
And mm-hmm. and I got to see firsthand what those travails look like, how they get more intense and they get closer together. And then I'm looking at Hurricane Irma, which broke all kinds of records. I'm looking
right.
at the California wildfires, which is definitely one of the most devastating fires ever. Hurricane Maria, which has, devastated Puerto Rico like no other storm. Hurricane Harvey, that's, you know, just damages in the millions. And all of this within the matter of a few months. And they're definitely more intense and closer together. So you could still be out of here before the 3.5 years or the 7 years or whatever you think the tribulation is. But you could still be here for the beginning of sorrows, for the birth pangs, for that travailing period, and if you live in Puerto Rico or California or Florida or Houston, you know, you might want to be prepared.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. And so, the first series I read of yours was the Economic Collapse Chronicles. Was that written? I didn't even look at the date before I was doing it. Was that written in the 2007 time frame when we were going through the .com and all that? Or that was actually 2001, the .com. Mm-hmm.
I wrote that in 2013, sort of in anticipation of everything that happened after the 2008 crisis. And I talk about a lot of the specifics and the things that were done to prop up the system in 2008 and the use of the tools that were used in 2008 in the financial landscape that are not going to be available when we have our next crisis.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to double the money supply again like we did. If we do
right. –
will devalue the currency to a point, and you can really look at the way costs have shot up in the past decade. You know, food prices, rent, automobiles, all those types of things that have just shot up as a result of all of that monetary creation that we did to prop up the system after 2008, and all that money still sloshing around in the system, and when you do that, you devalue the currency, and now you're looking at people that are standing around wondering why they've been at the same job for 20 years, and you know, they've been getting raises, but it doesn't. They're getting poorer and poorer. They're making more money and they're getting more poor, and they can't understand that because the school system doesn't teach that. The politicians certainly aren't going to teach that. I won't say the politicians don't teach that. Ron Paul spent two candidacies doing nothing except trying to educate people on that. I think Rand Paul did a pretty good job of picking up the torch in the last election cycle. But people don't want to listen to that. That's not what they're interested in. They want the mudslinging. They want the the reality show. They want to be entertained. They want their bread. They want their circuses. And both sides of the aisle, that's what they want, and that's what they chose, and that's what they've got. And they don't understand it, but they voted for it.
So let me ask you, so you're an author, and we're going to talk more about your books, because I get more excited about the Days of Noah, and I'm in the middle of Days of Elijah right now. But how did you get to the point of doing your Prepper Recon podcast?
I was listening to a guy called Jerry Robinson, does a podcast called Follow the Money, and he was talking one time about blogging your passion and doing things, you know, and doing what you love and trying to build a business out of it. And I thought, well, you know what? And I listened to this guy all the time, and I was like, I'm just going to prove him wrong. I'm just going to prove that everything he's saying doesn't work, you know? And so, and so 5 years later, I've still got Prepper Recon going, and it does really well. We've got a real steady listenership and a real steady, list of sponsors that help keep us going, and we really appreciate them.
Okay. Go. Awesome. Hey, we're going to just another off the wall question here, because this isn't in my notes here. But so you still live in Florida. Why?
Well, we did get out of the worst nick of the woods about 3 years ago. And so we're now in Central Florida, in one of the last small little fishing villages on the East Coast, and so it's not as bad as it was, but we've got, you know, when you're in a family, you've got to make everybody happy. So
true.
You know, and once we got sort of dislodged from the nightmare scenario where we were living down in Fort Lauderdale, you know, now my wife's she's become much more open to, you know, going even a little further north and into maybe a little bit more remote area, maybe in the somewhere in the Appalachians.
Oh yeah, you're welcome in North Carolina for sure.
All right, well we might come see you then, because that's definitely one of the places we're looking for.
Okay, well we're gonna, if you don't mind, we're gonna take a quick commercial break, and we're gonna come back, and I'm gonna ask you, we're gonna dig into some of your books and some more questions. So, G-Man, if you'll take it away, we'll be right back.
The Prepping Academy Podcast. What are you prepping for? Do you have the ultimate wood-burning, collapsible survival and camping stove? Stop looking. The Under 6 Elite Survival Stove by SurvivalStoveWorks.com can cook a meal in under 6 minutes with just a few twigs and sticks and without all the smoke and black soot. The Under 6 Elite weighs under 6 pounds and can be assembled in under 1 minute. This survival stove is made in the USA by patriots and preppers like you with high-quality steel. The Under 6 Elite Stove with all the extras is also easy to store and transport in its own carrying case.
It's on sale now with free shipping. See it in action and get yours now at SurvivalStoveWorks.com. That's SurvivalStoveWorks.com.
Do not buy emergency food until you compare Legacy Food Storage. You already know you need an emergency food supply. Legacy wants to ensure that you get higher quality, longer shelf life, better tasting non-GMO freeze-dried food. And Legacy gives you up to double food for your money. There's a huge secret our competitors don't want you to know. Never compare food storage based on cost per serving, because serving sizes vary. Compare based on the weight of the food. Legacy gives up to double the food for your budget. Visit LegacyFoodStorage.com. That's LegacyFoodStorage.com. Use coupon code PREPPER to save 15% on your order.
It shouldn't be all about outdoor survival. Think prospering outdoors. Prospering outdoors is more than just getting by. Prospering Outdoors is about having the quality gear or supplies you want when you need it. From camping and hunting supplies to prepping and survival kits, you'll find it all at ProsperingOutdoors.com. You don't have to search for that hard-to-find item. With over 35 categories to choose from, Prospering Outdoors has it or will find it. Save time and money. Surprise yourself with lower prices on quality brand names at Prospering Outdoors. If it's outdoors, hunting, camping, prepping, or surviving a horde of zombies, you will prosper with the quality you expect at the price you want. Visit ProsperingOutdoors.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Prepping Academy. I'm Forrest. We got Tenderfoot across the table from
him. Welcome back.
And we are talking to Mark Goodwin from Prepper Recon. He's an author. He's a podcaster. I think he's a preacher. I don't know. Because he, in his books, is just, I mean, it just plainly... Yeah. It just clearly tells kind of the gospel message from the Bible, which I love. Yeah. And you actually have a question. Oh, my goodness.
I do.
Okay.
So, Mark, I'm really getting intrigued just listening to you and Forrest. But I'm like one that can actually interject at any time. But, no, I was just going through looking at some of the books, and I definitely will – be picking up some copies of that and checking them out. And I just noticed that in the description, I don't know if you wrote this, Amazon wrote this, or how it came about, but it says, however, if you are offended by conservative principles and references to scripture, this book might not be for you. And I guess my question comes is, have you had anyone that doesn't fit the regular mold that you're writing for, and that I guess just talking to that. I mean, have you come across some people that they did pick up your book, read it? I mean, Forrest asked you, has anyone come to Christ? But I guess anyone who kind of is against it, and how you handle that, and what they've said, and where it's kind of going from there.
Yeah, thanks for asking that. I get quite a few folks that pick up the book and read it, and that's not who they are. They will more than willingly put up with profanity and F-bombs and the taking of the Lord's name in vain and toward sex scenes and all of that. But if you start preaching that offensive message of Christ, that's where the line is drawn, and they cannot handle that. You can talk about Buddha, you can talk about Muhammad, you can talk about anybody else in the world, but there's something about the name of Jesus that shakes the spiritual realm, and people that are in darkness, and that's where they live, and that's what they want to do. Jesus said people don't come into the light because their deeds are evil. You know, and they want to keep those evil deeds hidden, and especially within their self, and they don't want that light in them, and they don't want to be exposed to it because it's offensive to them. So, I've got a lot of folks that just thought they were picking up another apocalyptic book with swearing and sex and all of that, and then they start hearing Bible verses and people that pray, you know, because that's how I live my life. I get up right in the morning, I read my Bible, I pray. And so I'm writing characters that live the way I do. You know, when I watch television, I have to watch people that live the way the world does. You know, they have no thought of God. God never comes into their decision-making process. It never, you know, it's not reading the Bible's not part of their day. They don't go to church, you know, they go fishing or hiking or something else on Sunday, you know, and that's not who they are. And it's not what they do, but that's all the entertainment system portrays. They never portray somebody that lives life the way I do. So when I write a book, I want to write about people that live the way I do, you know, and think what I think and those types of things. And well, you know, those people were very, very offended by that. And so I write those disclaimers on the book so that it's not a gotcha for people. You know, I don't want to be tricking people into something. You know, if that's something that you're offended by and you don't want to hear it, then, you know, I don't want to shove it down your throat. But if you look at the 1-star reviews on all of my books, very few of those ratings are for the quality of the writing.
Yeah.
Many of them will say, you know, well, it could have been a good book, but, you know, and unfortunately, there's a lot of them that say, I'm a Christian, but, you know, and you know, and Paul said that. He said, you know, some folks are the eyes and, you know, and there's the body of Christ, and some folks are the hands and some folks are the mouth, and, you know, and they said, I'm a Christian, but, so. You got, I guess, you know, I guess that's an important part of the body of Christ.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So, I was going to go to the days
I've
of
got questions,
no,
man.
I got to go to the days of Noah.
Okay.
So me and a friend, we were, you know, we love the guy that reads your books, by the way. And he does, I think, all your books. He does some of the other authors as well. But, we were doing the days of Noah, and I remember we were checking Audible like every single day, seeing and it when it was going to come out. And then you did this crazy thing that made me so mad, is that you had, like, you would play some of your book on your podcast. And I started listening to one of your books. I think that was the third book of Days of Noah. I'm not sure, you can correct me on this, but so every
think,
podcast,
yeah,
every week he would release some of his book on his podcast.
Yeah.
It was driving me nuts. I mean, because when I listen to a book or read one of Mark's books, it's done in a day. I have to get through it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I got to stop. I can't do this. This is driving me nuts. And so I think I waited for the audio to come out where I can buy it or something so I could do the whole thing at once. What book was that, Mark?
Days of Elijah 1.
Okay. Yeah, that drove me nuts. I had to just wait for it to come out. Because I could not just take small segments of it. But Days of Elijah 1, and actually I'm reading that right now, and it is awesome. I absolutely love it. But back to Days of Noah. Days of Noah, you just kind of went crazy. I mean, you went all out, Christian, in your face, rapture happening, Bible, just full-on gospel message. And you kind of kicked it in a different gear in that book. What inspired you to do that?
I think I do that to some level in all the books because of what it was. You know, what I had intended to do is to write a series. I really enjoyed the Tim LaHaye series and Jerry B. Jenkins, the Left Behind series. I really liked them. I read all of those books. And I didn't have any intention of redoing their work. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to bring in, and like I said, I'm not necessarily pre-trib or mid-trib or anything else, but what I wanted to do is I specifically wanted to write a series to that pre-trib body of Christ, body of believers that think
right.
They're going to be out of here for the rapture. And I wanted to write a pre-trib series that showed just how dicey things could get before a pre-trib rapture. It sort of ended up being a little bit more pre-wrathish, I guess you would call it, than pre-trib. It didn't really – it sort of ended up not really being pre-trib. But that was my intention, is I just wanted to show folks, you know, well, you could be right. You could have a pre-trib rapture. You could be right about that, and things could get really, really dicey before that pre-trib rapture. because, like we mentioned with the beginning of sorrows and the travailing, that could be a really, really bad period. For the folks in Houston, Puerto Rico, and California, and there are some Christians in California,
really? They moved there recently.
Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, he was actually in Costa Mesa, he's gone on to glory, but his church is still there, and there's several churches still out there, and they're really salt and light on that. That's a dark place there. But for all the folks that have went through those disasters, that happened before the tribulation. They could still be pre-trib. None of that could have changed their eschatological viewpoint. The folks that are going through it in North Korea right now, our brothers and sisters that are being tortured in the Middle East or in some of the Muslim countries in Africa, there is great, great persecution against the church all around the world right now. We don't feel it to that degree in America,
right.
And we may, because that's certainly the way the trend has been going. Over the past.
Right. Yep. It's coming to America.
Yeah.
I think. Hey, and I'm right with you. I'm a pre-rapt guy. That's kind of what after 17 years of studying, that's what I've come up with. But I don't force that down anyone's throat. But I do tell people that God requires us as believers to study, and Jesus told, really commanded us two things as he was departing. One was to, the Great Commission, go out and preach the gospel, go out to all nations, make disciples of men. The other one was to watch. And if you do a word study on that watch, it means to study and know and be prepared. It's not a passive thing. It's actually an active thing to watch the birth signs, to watch everything that's going on. And to kind of be ready, like in the parable of the 10 virgins. I mean, the five knew it was time. They knew the season. I'm right with you on that. That's why I just dig your books. Dig. Man, that's like a term from the 80s, isn't it? Sorry about that.
That is really cool how, you were just talking about how you address, the whole Left Behind series deal, and being able to write from that standpoint, not different from where they were going with it. And so that is, I hope those are out there who have read that and have not read Mark's stuff, that would intrigue them, because that really,
their theology is just wrong. But
yeah,
I don't want to go there though.
But so Left Behind has had two movies, I guess, come out, right? The most recent, the one with Nicolas Cage, I haven't even seen that one.
I haven't either.
But it's on Netflix, I think. But are you in the works of any movies? Have you had anyone talk to you about that or whatnot?
I tell you what, it's just, I'm not. And I tell you what, I don't know if it's something I'd be interested in or not, because
they would change it.
If Hollywood gets a hold of it, they're really they're going to pull the message out of it. And it's rare to see a Christian film company that's really able to, and I think the two Left Behind movies are great examples of, the first one, it wasn't a great quality movie, really. It compared to the book, if you read the book and you watch that movie, you're wondering what book did they use to write that movie?
Yeah,
right.
And then when you watch the Hollywood one, you got the production value, and the message is completely stripped out of it. So I think that's unfortunately, I think that's your two options. So I really like the product. I really like what the Spirit's given me to write, and I I really think that they're probably in their best form as is, and I'm not sure that that's something that I'd be interested in because of those two reasons.
Just to plug myself, I'm also a film guy, so with a film degree. So if you ever do want to just talk to someone who wouldn't.
No, I'm just don't listen to him, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so Mark, your book 3 of Days of Elijah came out not too long ago. And so I had to go back all the way to 1. So I started listening to 1 again. And I'm picking up things again, but right now in the book 1 of Days of Elijah, they just put some provisions, I'll say, I won't go much into it, into the cave for the first time, and they're all tired at the house. So that's where I am there, and that's I listened to that a little bit today, and I'll finish that probably either tonight or tomorrow. But so you put out another book that has nothing to do with. You were just a co-author on it, on a gentleman that we all know. I've spoke with him. I mean, we were at a conference together and spoke together. A guy named Dave Kohler. Everyone knows him as Southern Prepper One. And that book was called Retreat Security and Small Unit Tactics. So how did you meet up with Dave and get together with him and write a book that's kind of completely different than you're normally writing?
Yeah, David and I, we met at a prepper conference in Florida several years back. Must have been 2013, 2014. And he was a guest on the Prepper Recon podcast. He's been on several shows. And you know, he had done so much stuff on YouTube about the retreat security. And I approached him about it. I said, you know, this would really, really be in a book so that people have this, because this is like, you know, if somebody just really, really needs to get up to speed, they need to do it fast, or maybe they've got a team of people that they need to get up to speed really, really fast, sort of a boot camp type orientation. This is the information they could do that with. And I told him, I said, you know, why don't I format everything that you've got on those videos? And let's get that in a book form and get that out there, because I just think it's such important information for people to have access to. And if there's ever a time where YouTube's not there or the internet's not there, or if it's just that people, that's not how they learn better through a book, you know, you know, is that something you want to do? And he said, sure. And so we did that project. And then also we did, you know, I had a 7-step survival plan that David helped me sort of beef up a little bit. And we put that together. And we also co-authored that one together as well.
Isn't that free download on your site?
It is. The 7-step survival plan, you can go to PrepperRecon.com. At the very top of the page, there's a bar there that says, click here to get your free 7-step survival plan. You
yep.
click that,
mm-hmm.
fill it out. I'll email that right to you, because that's something that's my heart right there. I want people to get prepared. That's why I do all of this. And, you know, out of those 7 steps, number one is getting your mind, body, and soul ready, you know, and making sure that you're ready for the day that you cross over, because 10 out of 10 people die. And if you're not prepared for that day, nothing else matters.
Amen.
And then, of course, step number 2 on that 7-step survival plan is something that would have helped everybody that's been in every one of those disasters we've just talked about, as far as Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Harvey, Maria, the wildfires. And that's financial preparedness, because all of those disasters were bug out disasters. And because we had a 6-month emergency plan, emergency fund, which means, you know, you put together what's a month's worth of your rent, your insurance, your food, your utilities, you add all that up. That's your monthly expenses. And you save that up in a fund, and you do that 6 times, and you've got 6 months worth of your expenses in a fund that you don't touch except for emergencies. Because
right.
we had that, we didn't think about whether or not we were going to bug out. We weren't waiting. You know, we weren't sitting there going, oh, if we bug out, we're going to be behind next month. So we're going to wait until the last minute to see if this hurricane is going to get close to us or not. So, and then we'll make our decision whether or not we're going to go. Money didn't come into the decision-making process on whether or not to bug out. So we bugged out early. We went ahead of the crowd. We got out of that. We didn't get stuck on the road like so many other people did. And I know that a lot of it is because people were saying, I don't know if we can afford to do this. And then when they decide they couldn't afford not to do it, that's when they did it. And it's because they didn't have, you know, they didn't have that emergency fund. So that's the second thing. And so if you were in, if you lost your home in any of those disasters, you know, you had that cushion that gave you some time to think. So, you know, maybe you lost your home. You had to go get an apartment, maybe in another city. You know, there's 200,000 people that are going to leave Puerto Rico, they say, permanently because of Maria. Already 73,000 have are getting assistance in Florida from Puerto Rico. They've come here and FEMA's relocated them here temporarily. So if you've got that money and you don't have to be beholden to the government, waiting on them, waiting for all that red tape, and you know, even if you've got insurance, that's going to take a while. Unfortunately, so many people in Houston, they didn't have flood insurance, and that's, you know, wind, storm, fire, none of that stuff's going to do you any good in that type of a situation. And if you've got that emergency fund, it gives you a little time to think. And most of the emergencies that we've seen lately, that would have been the second thing beside your faith that would have really helped get you through that. Even for the folks that were in the Las Vegas shooting, if you were injured and you weren't able to work for 3 or 4 months because of a gunshot wound or something like that, if they've got that emergency fund, they fared much better than people that didn't.
And you talk about gold and silver a lot on your show as well. You are I would classify you as a buyer of silver right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I like silver at these levels and this sort of $15 to $17 range that it's been in for several years now. And I think that it's not keeping up with inflation that we're seeing everywhere else. I think all that money's going into Bitcoin and Ethereum and all of that, and I think that's that looks like gambling to me, because you're placing your financial wherewithal into a system that's controlled by the internet that governments can turn on and off with a switch, like we've seen done in China. They're very regulative about how people are allowed to access the internet. You know, North Korea, you know, the North Korean government has no control over Bitcoin, but they've got control over the internet, and if you can't pass it, it doesn't do you a bit of good.
Yep.
So I'm very, very leery about that, and I think that that's the thing that people think is so great about it, is there's no central bank behind it. But you know, when Gaddafi wanted to sell oil for gold, and things didn't go so well for him because of the folks that hold the reserve currency. So that's not something you want to play with.
Right. You know, pay taxes
and don't be telling them you're going to sell oil and something besides gold.
Right.
That's the two things they won't tolerate.
Right. Yep. I do own one Bitcoin. One.
Great.
It's like $6,000 right now. Unbelievable.
Yeah, 6,100
I bought it like $1,200.
Wow. Yeah,
I know. Hey, I got one last question for you, because we're running out of time. But, I just have to ask you to share, you know, a lot of the people that listen to, you know, our podcast, I mean, they're preppers. They've been putting back food. They've been putting back, putting together plans, communication plans. I mean, they've been doing it, and if they're not, they're learning this. That stuff is readily available throughout the internet. Your podcasts, you know, YouTube, people can learn what to do to prepare. But what they can't just go out and learn to do is there is several areas that people need to prepare for. One is, you know, physically, You need to be in shape. Two is mentally, and that's some of your books will prepare people definitely mentally. And then there's actual physical things that you need. But I think one of the biggest things missing is how people can prepare spiritually. What would you recommend to people that are just hearing this for the first time, or they've thought about God, or they've thought about, that voice that's in their head that you know tells them there's a God? I mean, how would you help someone prepare, you know, spiritually, even if they don't know Christ or they do know Christ?
Psalms 119 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." You know, and if you're walking around in the darkness, and this is a dark world we're walking around, and you don't have to even be a Christian to see that. It's just so dark. There's so much darkness all around us. And if you don't have that lamp, if you don't have that light of God's word, you're stumbling around in the dark and you cannot see. And it's great to go to a great church and you might get a good message and you might not. I don't know. If you get that book and you read it for yourself and you ask God to open your eyes and to show you what he's trying to tell you in that book, that will happen. Because that is his living word, and he will speak to you through that. And if you don't know where to start in the New Testament, read the Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and read John, and then just read on through the rest of the New Testament. And I'd say read that over and over, the New Testament, until you've got that down and you understand what it's telling you, and you understand salvation, you understand what sacrifice Jesus made for you on the cross, and that you're made perfect by his blood and by nothing that you do on your own. And just read that book every day. When you get up, read that book and do nothing else until you've read it. And read, you know, two or three chapters, whatever it is that you can do in the morning, and make that the first part of your day. Give God the first fruits of your day by reading his word. And if you'll do that, he will open your eyes, he'll open your spirit, and he'll guide you and he'll direct you, and you'll learn who God is, who Jesus is, and who you are in him. And that's something no preacher can tell you. Church is great. That's a great place to go congregate with other believers, but that's not the place where you go to learn about God. You go to his word to learn about God. And exactly. nobody else can teach you that except he himself. It says in Isaiah that they'll all be taught by me, you know, and now we've got that living word right there. And unlike many Christians around the world that don't have that freedom to read it, we do. So get a hold of it and make a priority out of reading that book every single day. First thing in the morning when you get up before you've done anything else, read it with your coffee or breakfast, whatever. But don't leave the house in the morning without reading that book.
Yep.
That is
the best advice anyone has ever given to someone in the preparedness and prepping, and you know, that call them a prepper. That is the absolutely essential thing of all preparedness is when you do pass away, where are you going to go? You could save yourself and your family. But yet, if you're saving yourself and your family and still not going to be with God when you pass away, what a shame. Hey, we got 1 minute left. G-Man is telling us that we got 1 minute left. I want to thank Mark Goodwin. He is Prepper Recon. He's got Days of Noah, Days of Elijah. He's got all these books. Go to Amazon, type in Mark. Go to Prepper Recon. You can listen to his podcast, get all the information from there. What an incredible show tonight, just because Mark was just kind of sharing kind of what's been on my heart. I've really never gone to a lot of the things that he said, which is awesome. But hey, you're listening to the Prepping Academy. We're live every Friday night every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check us on Prepping Academy. Go to the podcast, iTunes, Google Play, we're all there. Tenderfoot and I will be back next week. And Mark, thank you so much. And
thank you, Mark.
Thank you. You have a blessed week and life, and we shall talk to you again, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Prepping Academy podcast. Preppers unite at www.preppingacademy.com.
Today's broadcast has come to you through the courtesy of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. See our hosts, show schedules, archive programs, and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com. Thanks for listening.
Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at PrepperNet.com.